This was an existential threat to the company. This was something that completely cratered all of the progress I had made if this lawsuit didn't go the right way.
Welcome to the Masterstroke Podcast with Monica Enid and Sejo Pietrzak. Conversations with founders, CEOs, and visionary leaders in technology and beyond.
Both of us have run companies. We are wives, we are daughters, we are mothers. We have lots of roles in our lives. And, you know, I think, Sejal, you've actually said to me, and I thought it was so funny because I think the same thing about you is, oh, you've got it all. And I always think, oh, you can't have it all. No one has it all. But we do have a lot in our lives, and we definitely feel grateful for it. And I know that there's a lot of investment in tactics and strategies that you've used in order to make yourself more productive over time. You know, we all benefit from support from people in our lives and all of the people that support us. But you've actually got a lot of good tactics. And one of them you told me about was you use time boxing quite a bit.
You know, Monica, I do use time boxing quite a bit. And let me explain a little bit about what that is. You know, work can expand to fill the time that you give it. And so one theory or one way to think about time boxing is to say, I'm only going to give this particular project or initiative a very small percentage of time. I'm going to give it X amount of time, half an hour, an hour. And then you've time boxed how much time you're going to give to that particular project. Otherwise, it can consume everything and it consume a lot more time than you want to give it. Do you use time boxing?
For me, this tactic of time boxing, maybe it's not time boxing, it's compartmentalizing, was taught to me to not let something that was so scary kind of take over my life. I had to compartmentalize. So early in the company's journey, actually just after I took the first institutional funding from K1 Capital, I got a lawsuit. We got sued by a competitor. That competitor was bigger than us, more well-funded than us. And it was the first time I had ever been sued. And
That's scary.
I was petrified. I mean, it was beyond scary because at that point in time, it wasn't just me in my living room working, hoping I'm going to build a company. At that point, I had, you know, employees, I had customers that had taken risk on me, and now had investors that were depending on me to get return. And those investors were not angel investors. They were professional investors that were starting their own fund and depending on me to get them a great return for their own jobs. And I felt a lot of pressure, and I felt like this was an existential threat to the company. This was something that completely cratered all of the progress I had made if this lawsuit didn't go the right way. And I don't even think I articulated or knew this, but I knew it was really scary. And when we got sued, I called our board member, actually at K1, I called Neil Malik, and he said to me, listen, Monica, I've been through this before. Everyone who's successful is going to go through this. And he said, so you've achieved some level of success, and that's why you're going through this. And he said, but here's the thing that I learned. He said, every single day, he said, you have to run the business, and you cannot let this thing interfere with you doing your job of running the business. So he said, every single day, take the box off the shelf, put it on your desk, open up the box, maybe for 2 hours a day or an hour a day.
Like a real box, like, meaning a metaphorical, but real
metaphorical,
box.
I guess he assumed metaphor. I don't know. I was thinking about what he was saying. And he was saying like, but, and I actually did put the papers in a box because of what he said to me. But I guess he was just talking in metaphors, but I was very literal.
But that's a great way to think about it. It paints that picture.
Yeah. And I took it and because I got this, you know, official paper being served and all that stuff. And then I took it, I opened it up, deal with it. And then he said, and then at the end of the hour that you let yourself, he said, close the box, pick the box up and put it back on the shelf and don't take it down for the rest of the day. And every single day do that so that, you know, you're not going to get behind. You're going to deal things in a timely manner. You're going to, but you cannot let this be all consuming. And I said, are you crazy? I mean, literally, I said that to him when he said this thing about tick the box. I said, are you crazy? I don't think you understand. This is an existential threat to the business. And he said, like, we could not exist if this goes wrong. And he said, understood. You can't let this, you cannot let this consume you. Just do what I said. Do every day, 1 hour, take it down 2 hours a day and open the box, but close the box, put it away and be done with it. And it was, I did. I very literally tried to conjure the imagery and make sure that I was doing and put the things away and, you know, organize my desk in a way such that I kind of, when I was dealing with that, I'd print things out and have things. But when I wasn't dealing with it, I put it away so that I didn't accidentally look at it and get distracted. And I think that was, I think it saved the company. Like, I do think it saved me and it saved the company. That one.
Well, because then when you won the lawsuit, the company hadn't been at a standstill because you hadn't been leading. It had been going and continuing to go. And this wasn't the only thing that you were working on or worried about. And again, work expands to fill the time. This could have expanded to fill your entire day. And if you didn't compartmentalize that worry, it could have become your entire day. Everything could have been around
and
this.
And more so than time, it could have consumed my entire mental capacity and my entire emotional capacity, which I think it really was about to do that. And I think that's the key, the metaphorical box and the compartmentalizing. There are lots of scary things that are happening in all of our lives. Like, you know, people have health problems, their relatives are sick, or they have something. All of those things can be mentally and emotionally all consuming. And if you allow them to be, and they're not, I'm not saying that they're not serious. I mean, we are acknowledging the seriousness of so, you know, I met this woman yesterday that her husband's got a brain tumor. And I was thinking, I don't know how you can function or do anything else when your husband has a brain tumor. But she was there doing this thing. And I thought, well, that's important because she has to compartmentalize. Because if she did not compartmentalize, it would take over everything and it would be a problem. And, you know, you said the thing about
being paralyzed.
Yeah, you said the thing about the business. The lawsuit took, well, you've been through lawsuits, I'm sure. It took years to resolve itself. So, you know, and then there was appeal, there was all this stuff. It looked like took forever. So, you know, obviously you can't spend just like health issues.
Wow.
You can't spend years consuming.
But it also goes the other way. You're talking about, you know, when something is really challenging at work, you can't let it become all consuming that it affects how you treat your family or how you treat yourself. You know, sometimes if things are so busy and so crazy or something's not going well at work, you know, it may seem really easy to say, I'm not going to go work out today. Mm-hmm. I'm too tired or I'm not. And I've done that. And I've gone through periods of time in my life where I have not prioritized myself or my mental health or my physical health. And I have allowed myself to become all consumed by work. And I think it's really important to not let that happen and to compartmentalize, you know, and.
So I'd love for you.
I do.
You to tell us a story about when you've thought about using time boxing and how that turned out and how that really helps you.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because work can expand to fill the time. You know, you can do things and it can consume everything, or you can time box. And this is something that I often do. If it's something that I don't want to do, and I remember telling you a story about I was cleaning my closet and organizing and donating things that I don't wear anymore. And I would have an hour and I would say, okay, I am going to go do this for 1 hour. I'm going to time box it so that it doesn't feel like I have to go do it for the entire day.
Right.
Because it feels like when you go, you have to go and really finish it, but you don't. You can time box it and just focus on it for 30 minutes and get it. And then it might take a few days. But you know what ends up happening is you get in there and then you're doing it for 30 minutes. And then you're like, oh, this is going really well. I want to keep doing it. And that's, but you don't have to because you've given yourself that 30-minute time limit And if it's something you really don't like doing, at least get it done for 30 minutes and then move on, or an hour, whatever it is. The story I had told you about with trying to manage, I was CEO. Often my daughter played basketball, and so did my son. My daughter was in these away tournaments that would go for the entire weekend. And I always love watching her play and watching basketball. And so I wanted to do these tournaments. And so, but I also knew I had a lot of work to do. So I made we get to the tournament and we watch the first game. And I said to myself, I cannot leave this tournament without getting these three things done. And I knew that, you know, the hour in between games, hour and a half, 2 hours sometimes, you know, oftentimes I'm chit-chatting with the other parents, or we'll go out for lunch, or, you know, we'll do whatever it is. But I said, I am going to focus and try to get these things done. And it was a requirement for me in my own mind to get these things done. And that way I could really enjoy the games. And so here we are at this tournament at some high school in Oklahoma. We drove up to Oklahoma from Texas. And the game ends, and I've got my backpack with me with my laptop and a couple of files. And I find a classroom and go into the classroom, sit down, and luckily it was unlocked, and literally just worked the entire time, the 90 minutes in between those two games, and put my laptop away, got those, you know, didn't get everything done, but got working towards it, and then went to the next game. And I think they had a third game that Saturday, and I did the same in between. And I felt so accomplished. And it's because I had, number one, said, I'm not going to waste this time in between games, and I'm going to try to utilize it. And it's only an hour, and you feel like I can't get much done in an hour or an hour and a half, whatever it happens to be, but you can. You can get stuff done. And I learned that really valuable, because then you're sitting in the next game and you're really enjoying it, because you don't have it weighing on you so much that you have to get this thing done. And when am I going to do it? Am I going to do it at 10 o'clock at night, sitting in the hotel room after we've gone to the team dinner? And, you know, I can't have the light on because my daughter, who's in the next bed over, is going to be trying to sleep so that she can do well the next day. Sure enough, I did that between every one of the games, and left on Sunday late afternoon to drive back to Dallas. And it was a great feeling, because when we got home, I got to spend time with the rest of family, my husband and son, and actually have a nice dinner, and it was done. And yet I had been able to be very present for the games, and then be very present doing the work in that classroom, which stayed open all weekend. And I was able to go in there. There was a plug for my laptop and everything. So yeah, it was great.
What a fabulous story. I mean, it's incredibly hard thing to balance, but I love how that being present for those 90 minutes for that work that needed to be done, and then being present in the basketball game, watching her, you know, and doing what you enjoy, watching her play basketball, and then being present with your husband and son at dinner or the evenings. It's really nice how that strategy allowed you to live your kind of guiding principle of IPP and integrity,
right,
and purpose. So you got your present, being present. So, you know, you and I have both had times in our lives where we don't manage our own calendars. And how do you use time boxing, or do you use time boxing on your calendar, and how you're managing kind of like your accomplishments of the week or the day, especially when you're you have to be kind of responsive to other people in the organization and other things competing for your time and energy, and things that you couldn't possibly plan competing for your time and energy?
Well, it's something that I learned a long time ago, and it was actually from a woman who was running a division of company. She said she did it, and I can't remember if I heard it at a conference or somewhere, but it stuck with me. And what she did was she would literally block her calendar, and she didn't have to write what she was doing, but then it would show as unavailable to anybody who was trying to book time. So in companies, oftentimes, if somebody wants to schedule a meeting and they can do it internally, they see what's available on calendars, and then they can just schedule the meeting. And then you've got it on your calendar. And you have to accept it or decline it. Instead of going through that whole process, and I had an amazing assistant who would help me with this, I actually started boxing out my calendar and blocking out times. And sometimes it would be because I needed the time to work on the business rather than in the business. Another phrase another CEO once said, it really stayed with me. And you have to be able to be looking up ahead and getting that perspective. That's uniquely the CEO's responsibility. It's really easy to get deep into the details and not see the forest for the trees and not see what's coming ahead and looking around the corner, thinking about the risks that are ahead, thinking about the, you know, big things that you want to focus on, the vision. You know, that was part of what I boxed, you know, in terms of my calendar. I would also, and I'm sure, you know, this is something that you do as well, Monica, and we talked about this, you know, you go to Pilates. And so that's important. You've got to box that out in your calendar, because, you know, a lot of times your calendar will go evenings, nights, weekends, whatever it is for work-related stuff, but you have to box out those times. People often say, how do you set boundaries? By boxing out time and calendar to be able to go do things, whether it's I'm going to go for a run, I'm going to go walk the dog, I'm going to go just have some me time. You know, sometimes it's self-care. Sometimes it's related to working on the business and thinking about the strategy. But I did that all the time where I would have, and I still do, where I block out, you know, box period of time in order to make sure that, and then I have to be productive during that time. Like, you know, I have to write to myself in my own calendar, this is what I'm going to be doing during that time.
You don't put lay on the couch and eat bonbons on your calendar? Because by the way, that can be productive quite a bit.
It can. Oh, that's all part of self-care, isn't it? Right? You know, making sure that you're getting that time. Otherwise, you get too deep. And you know, some people who I've shared with this, they say, I've got too much work. Yeah. I can't do that. I can't get away. But you know what? It actually makes you so much more productive and successful by being able to step away. Give it 30 minutes. Mm-hmm.
I could not agree with you more. I've heard that from so many people who say, well, I don't have time to do that. I think I'm going to restate it because you said it at the top, and I feel like it's important to restate it, is the work will expand to fit the amount of time you'll give it. So if you have a day to do something, but you only give yourself 2 hours to do something, you will spend the whole day doing that thing. Or you will spend 2 hours. Now, is the product that you do in the day that much better? Is it, let's say that's 8 hours versus two. Is it 4 times better? Oh, no, it is not.
No, there's a law of diminishing returns. There really is.
Absolutely not. It is not linear, the amount of time that you put in, the productivity. Now, sometimes you have to give up on the last 5% of perfection and polish. You know, sometimes like I'll have to write an important email to like an all company email about, let's say, a reorg announcement. And I'm worried about everything that people might be thinking and how will they read into this? And did I say this about that person and why this is happening and what anxiety am I going to cause in the organization by whom? I could spend inordinate amounts of time, you know, worrying about every single thing. And I could spend an entire day writing that email, but it's really not going to change that much from the time in the first hour if I stopped. And that's like a hard lesson to learn. And I love that, you know, you said you heard this from someone, and you're, because, you know, I know that what both of us have talked about is paying it forward, and that this is, it's important about doing this podcast and sharing these lessons is, you know, we learned all these things along the way. And if we can pass it forward to anybody, that is, that is just our goal. And it's just wonderful.
I mean, you think about the past 30 plus years of since graduating from college, it is so much lessons learned about work, life, everything in between, and paying it forward. If I had a few of these examples or lessons back then, I mean, I feel as if I would have learned things faster.
And they would have compounded, you know,
compared
over time.
To there you go. That's right.
My favorite lesson.
They would have compounded. That's right. That's right.
The fact that I do time box and I put Pilates on my calendar, and I do not allow, there's two things I do not allow people to interfere with. One is Pilates, but the other is my hair appointments, because my hairdresser is so incredibly hard to book. So I make sure that when I'm getting my hair colored, I do not ever let that get interrupted. What are the important things that are non-negotiable to you? Or that, like you said, you didn't go to that basketball tournament and say, I've got a mountain of work. I just got to work all weekend. No, you said, I mean, and this is an important distinction. You said, I'm not going to leave this tournament without these three things. And you picked three, a finite three things.
Three.
And you said,
that's right.
These three things, I'm not doing the 90,000 little things that everybody would like me to do or I could be doing. I'm picking the three big things that matter and that are prioritized. And I'm going to get them done at this tournament. And I'm going to box this time for it. If everything's a priority, then nothing is a priority.
Ultimately, you know, as you think about time boxing, whether it's an actual metaphorical box and you're putting your focus for a couple of hours on that and then moving to everything else, or whether it's thinking about time and saying, I'm going to box this time and block this time for, even if you only have 30 minutes in between, two different things and making that productive. I think, you know, that's one of the biggest lessons learned for me, and one of the things that I think has helped me find success, you know, with life and family. And I think, Monica, you would probably say the same.
Absolutely. But thanks for sharing the story about the basketball tournament. I think that one's something I'll always remember. That was a really good one.
Oh, well, thanks. Well, it was great talking to you. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Hopefully you picked up a few pieces of good inspiration from our lessons learned over our many years. And it's great to be here. And thanks, Monica Nand. And thanks to our executive producer, Georgiana Moreland. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for joining us. Please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. We would love to hear from you on our LinkedIn page at Masterstroke Podcast with Monica Enid and Sejal Pietrzak.